Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 1, text number 41. Please repeat. Sankaraha Narakaya Eva Kulagnanam Kulasha Cha Patanti Pitaraha Hi Esham Lupta Pinda Udaka Kriya Sankaraho Narakayeva Sankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulashacha Patanti Pitaro Yesham Lupta Pindo Dakakriya Sankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulashacha Kulagnanam Kulashacha Patanti Pitaro Yesham Lupta Pindo Dakakriya Sankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulashacha Patanti Pitaro Yesam Lupta Pindo Dakakriya. Sankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulashacha Patanti Pitaro Yesam Lupta Pindo Dakakriya. Sankara Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulashacha Atanti Pitaro Yesam Lupta Pinda Dakakriya Sankaraha. Such unwanted children, Narakaya, make for hellish life. Eva, certainly, Kulagnanam, for those who are killers of the family. Kulasya, for the family. Cha, also. Patanti, fall down. Pitaraha, forefathers. He, certainly. Esham, of them. Lupta, stopped. Pinda, of offerings of food. Udhaka, and water. Kriya, performances, translation. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Purport. According to the rules and regulations of fruitive activities, there is a need to offer periodical food and water to the forefathers of the family. This offering is performed by worship of Vishnu, because eating the remnants of food offered to Vishnu can deliver one from all kinds of sinful actions. Sometimes the forefathers may be suffering from various types of sinful reactions, and sometimes some of them cannot even acquire a gross material body and are forced to remain in subtle bodies as ghosts. Thus, when remnants of prasadam food are offered to forefathers by descendants, the forefathers are released from ghostly or other kinds of miserable life. Such help rendered to the forefathers is a family tradition, and those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals. One who is engaged in the devotional life is not required to perform such actions. Simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of misery. It is stated in the Bhagavatam 11.5.41, Deva Rishi Bhutapta Nrinang Pitrinang Nakinkaronayam Rinicharajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyang Kato Mukundang Piraritya Kartam. Anyone who is taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and is taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadama Yang Dadati Sva Padantikang Vande Hang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulashacha Patanti Pitaro Yesham Lupta Pindo Daka Kriyaha. Kriya means performing. So we're continuing. Arjuna, as explained yesterday by Mother Kundamai, is that Arjuna is bringing up different excuses. And here he continues basically excuse of yesterday. He puts a little bit more arguments on top of it. He says an increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life. So the first thing that should be noted here is that it's unwanted population, because in the modern world there is the false theory that there is overpopulation, but there is no such thing as overpopulation. Overpopulation simply means that basically the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. In other words, that the assets of the world are not properly distributed. And we all know, who live in Europe and in America, that so much food is dumped on a monthly basis, I think, in the oceans, you know, over you know, plus of food. Of course, I think I spoke about it a few days ago. If you want to, I was discussing this also today, if you want to open up your borders, because that is part of that whole kind of solution, then you also need to have capital punishment. And the problem with that, and many intellectuals, they are against capital punishment, because sometimes the innocent person gets capitalized, he gets, you know, put to death, and then later they find out he's innocent. And this is because the whole system actually is to some extent corrupt, and it's not working properly. So therefore, people, they have lost their faith into the whole system, and such a severe punishment, this capital punishment, which it is irreversible, because once somebody is dead, you cannot basically cannot bring him back alive. So therefore, people have lost their faith in that kind of punishment. But I also speak from my own experience, like in Holland, especially in Amsterdam, many people from the Yugoslavian, former Yugoslavian Republic would come, and they were really heavy, heavy criminals. And they didn't care to kill somebody for, I think, €1,000. Because the punishment in Holland is maximum 10 to 15 years. And the prisons are very, very nice. You have your television, you get nice food. So for these guys, they come from this war zone, at least, like I'm talking 10 years ago. So they really, you know, they didn't care. It was like a holiday for them. So that doesn't work. You see, you open up your borders, and then the criminals, they'll just take advantage of you. So you cannot just do one thing and then not the other. You have to do the whole thing. One who says A also has to say B. And I explained this last time, this is a gradual process. You cannot force these things. But if we want to have peaceful living, then it needs to be done. And the peace formula is given in the fifth chapter. Bhaktaram yakyata pashyam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. One who knows this knowledge about me, he will attain peace. I am the beneficiary of all Bhaktaram, I'm the enjoyer of all the yagyas. Bhaktaram yagya tapasham sarva loka maheshwaram. Loka means planet. I am the proprietor of everything. I'm the Ishvar of all the lokas. So that is what I was just explaining, that ultimately Krishna is the proprietor of all the countries. Like I'm now having to apply for a visa in India, and they're giving me, well, not yet, but I mean already actually they're giving me a hard time, because I have to have a picture and this and that and so much money. Now I heard it's a little bit politics, but it's just in the news, because a friend of mine, she was complaining she can't get a visa because England and India, they have a little bit of a tiff, that's how she called it. And anyway, what's going on? The English, they're a little bit disturbed about the Indian policy, because the system is not working properly. I mean, we all know that the Indian bureaucracy is almost from the 50s, and it's not very advanced. So England was complaining that you know, we can't trust the people that you send to us, you know. So the Indians, they are insulted by that. So they're saying, okay, you're giving us a hard time, we're going to give you also a hard time. So they're giving all the citizens of England also a hard time to get a visa. But this is all artificial and should not be done, actually. I mean, ideally speaking, I just explained it. But this is all, this is all artificial, because it's not the government of India's country, it's Krishna's country. And ultimately, there's no countries, there's just, you know, one planet. And we're all using it. Like today I was explaining to one person that you cannot renounce anything because you don't really owe anything. Like I have this sweater, this shirt, and it's made of cotton. So this cotton is from the earth. So nobody really owns that, ultimately, if you really look at it. Nobody can make cotton. Cotton is made by nature, and nature ultimately comes from the supreme cause of all causes, Krishna. So I cannot renounce this because it's not mine. And at the same time, I cannot also accept things because they're also not mine. So the only solution, because the intelligent person, who so-called intelligent, they renounce everything. They say everything should be renounced because it's not mine. But like I explained, there's nothing to renounce. So the proper thing to do is to use it in Krishna's service. And that should also be done with the planet. It should be, it's not India, and it's not Holland, it's not England. It's basically God who owns the land. So it should be used for God. So also the government should be in the service of Krishna. And that is the ideal government. And then also there will be no unwanted population. But anyway, I just wanted to clarify that there is no such thing as overpopulation. What is that verse in the Sri Upanishad? Yan kinchat jagat. Yeah, you should not encroach upon another person's property, knowing well to whom it belongs. So Prabhupada gives the example that when there's a whole stack of grains, then the bird will come and he will just take a little bit. And the human being will come and he'll take a whole stack, you know, and then he might could sell it or something like that. So we can just take a little bit. And the Prabhupada gives another example. He says the African, the elephant in Africa, he gets food. I mean, of course, sometimes we hear that they get, like, you know, they have no water and they die. But these are exceptions. And they're generally also because of human interference. But generally, the elephants, they're not dying. And we all, maybe we don't all know, but the elephant eats a lot. I don't know. He eats like a whole 100 kilo. I mean, it's like veggies, you know, 100 kilo veg. And it's a lot. So, but he somehow gets by. So Prabhupada says, so, you know, you think that Krishna will not feed human beings or he will not feed devotees. So the philosophy that we have, and it's very difficult to accept this, because even Srila Prabhupada, he had a little tough time to accept it. I mean, of course we say that it's all lila, but whatever it is, what happened is that he tried to make money for Krishna. He thought, I'm going to become rich and then I'm going to preach. And it failed. And according to his astrology, he was supposed to be a millionaire. And somehow it failed. And then he just, everything failed. And then his wife didn't want to, you know, it was this whole thing about the tea, right? This whole fight that she was making tea and Prabhupada was getting disturbed by that. And then at some stage he said, it's either tea or me. And then she said, well, then you should go. And then Prabhupada had to leave, and he went to Vrindavan, and nobody was helping him. He was printing this back to Godhead, nobody was taking. And then, he was forced to surrender. We were hearing it this morning, right? With his godbrother, he was forcing him to take sannyas. And then he remembered, I promised my Guru Maharaj I was going to preach in the English language. And then gradually the whole thing became revealed, and he took a boat to the United States of America. And as they say, the rest is all history. So that's what happened. But in the beginning, he was trying to make money. And then later he said, it was a mistake. Don't do like me. It was a mistake. I should have immediately surrendered. It was a waste of my time. And now I have so much money. And it wasn't in his name. It was all on the society's name. But, you know, so much money. As soon as Prabhupada really started to surrender and started to preach. In fact, actually, some devotee told me another story that in New York also everything failed. Because even in New York he had a really hard time. And at some stage somebody stole things from his apartment, and then he had to move out because this guy was like really crazy. And he was like on the street. And then suddenly all the devotees started to help him. Mukunda and Kirtanananda. And they moved him into this storefront. And they didn't know how to pay the next month's rent. But somehow they got this storefront. And they got a carpet. And they got stuff. They got stuff from their own apartments. And they brought it all in. And suddenly they all, you know, pulled together. And they helped the Swami. You know, this is actually how it started. When Prabhupada basically hit complete rock bottom. It's almost like Draupadi. Then suddenly Krishna started to kick in. You know, we need to have that faith. It's very difficult. I'm also struggling with it. But we need to have that faith. And especially when we start to surrender, mainly preach, when we really start to preach, then Krishna will start to reciprocate. So we need to have that faith. So, yeah, so the idea is about this unwanted population and about overpopulation is that if we just follow Krishna's model, then automatically there will be enough food. Because I can give another example just to close this point, is that it's also said that, I forgot the Sanskrit, but by yajna you get rain. Right? So what is also explained in that is that if everything is in order, if the government is nice, because there is a story of King Prithu, and the earth didn't want to give any more grains and so many other things, like jewels and stuff like that. Like for instance, I think it's in Lanka, there's so many jewels. Why? Because the whole island is filled with demigod worship. You see? So the idea is that once you start worshipping Krishna, then the whole earth will start to blossom automatically. Because he's the in charge. Prabhupada gives the example of the tree. And you can water the leaves. The Christians, they are very much into that. You have to take care of your fellow man. But you can also just take care of the roots. And that is Krishna. And once you take care of Krishna, then automatically all the leaves will flourish. But we need to have that faith. And that faith will it's a gradual process. So the idea is that once we surrender to Krishna, everything will come in order and the earth will start giving jewels and gold and grains and pure water and all these things. And now she's withholding it. And of course there's another thing that we're also doing, we're pumping out all this oil. It's not necessary for spiritual life, basically. And this is actually the Indians, North American Indians from the United States, they used to call it their raping Mother Earth. And this is actually what it is, because if you see a piece of land, because we don't see it so much, because nowadays they pump everything out of the sea. But if you see the land after they pump out the oil, it's like completely destroyed, because it's not a pretty sight. Another thing, we pump it out of the desert, which is already like destroyed, basically. So then it's not so prominent, but if you do it out of a normal piece of land, and generally it gets destroyed. And also sometimes they say that this oil creates a gas which keeps the earth flowing, so you never know what will happen. Once you start to kind of speculate, you start to do your own thing, you the consequences are also for you. This is what's going on. If you don't follow Krishna's instructions, then you're working outside of his instructions, and then you have to take the consequences. And this is why the world is in such a chaos. That's just how it works, and it's got a deeper philosophical reason behind it, is that ultimately everything is Krishna's energy. So we're trying to separate ourselves from Krishna, but it's not possible, because everything is Krishna's energy. So, but Krishna is so merciful that he fulfills our desires, so he puts us in this kind of illusory state of mind that we identify ourselves with this material body, and like that we're trying to, it's said in the, I think in the sixth chapter, we're trying to enjoy the material energy. Now we're trying to exploit the material energy. So, but it's not possible, because ultimately it's Krishna's energy. If you take something there, then it has to come from somewhere else. Like you have a Dutch saying, if it doesn't go in the length, it has to go in the width. You know, if you drive a car, you need gas. There's nothing that, only God can make something without diminishing himself. Nobody else can do that. Everybody needs energy from God. So, so that it's like a mathematical logic that as soon as you start to subtract things, then you have to pay for them later. And it's constructed in such a way that you can never be fully happy, because you're doing something artificial, which is trying, because it's actually not, ultimately it's not happening, you're trying to separate yourself from God. You think you're separated from God. In fact, you are not. But we're so much identifying with the mind and the body that we forgot God. But he's right there. He's sitting in the heart. Anyway, so once we start to surrender to God, then there will be no unwanted population, and there will also definitely be no problem with overpopulation. Oh, I was wondering about it myself. I was wondering, what does he mean with pestilence? Well, war is easy. War is easy. I mean, this is the age of quarrel. And one of the symptoms of this age, which, as you know, started 5,000 years ago, is that people quarrel. So if you have people who are raised in a let's say it a little bit down to earth, in an unloving way, then they are uncultured and automatically they will fight with each other. Yeah, I don't know. Are you sure? Well, in one sense, because he was put as an orphan, right? Well, I'm not sure if you can you call it extrapolate, because Karna is the son of the sun god. No, it's true. I mean, she didn't want him, but what I understand from unwanted population, it's that they're not spiritually qualified. Like the example is given in the fifth canto, I think that generally it's understood from the Vedic literature that the soul enters the womb through the semen. So sometimes it's said that that the man produces a son, and it's sometimes I forgot the Sanskrit, but it's sometimes compared to either semen or urine, because if the son is not behaving properly, then he's like a burden. So then then it's like unwanted population. I think it's like Krishna says in the fourth chapter, guna karma vibhakasha. So it's all about the quality and the activity. Well, I don't think you can make a rule like that. That's what I'm saying. It's guna and karma. I think you're close. Definitely, it's undesirable, but it's not an ultimate rule, absolute rule. That's my point. No, the absolute rule is if they're either Krishna conscious or not Krishna conscious. It's very simple like that. Yeah, because I mean, let's be honest. In our movement, also these things happen, and many of these children become very nice devotees. So they're not unwanted progeny. You know, that's the ultimate thing. If somebody is God conscious or not. And that is the ultimate morality, because some people say, yeah, but you can just do good, but you have to know what is good. And who's giving those rules? Like you have the law, like in Holland you have the law, and it's based mainly on Napoleon. But where did he get it from? He got it from the Bible. And where's the Bible from? The Bible is ultimately from the Vedic literature. I mean, we don't know it for a fact, but it's from somewhere. They weren't making this stuff up, and we know this is like eternal. So it's most likely they got it from the Vedic literature. And there's many similarities if you look at the Old Testament. If you compare it to the fifth canto, what we're studying now about creation, it's very similar. There's one sun, there's one moon, all these similarities are there. So, just to say it bluntly, that is the ultimate designation. Is somebody Krishna conscious, God conscious, or not? And that makes him or her unwanted. It's a little harsh, but you know, we're following Krishna, that's what Krishna is saying. And pestilence, I don't know. I mean, very good. Yeah. No. No. I mean, that's a very good point. It's absolutely true what you're saying. The idea is that ultimately, because what she's saying is right. You know, if you have children out of wedlock, it's not ideal. So we want to go for the ideal, and the ideal is that a person gets born with, it's called Garbhadhan Sanskar. It's a samskar. There's different samskars. And one of the samskars is that you chant 50 rounds of japa before you have intercourse and make the child, before you conceive the child. And that, then you have a certain consciousness, because it's all about the consciousness. That's why this movement is called Krishna consciousness. So then by the consciousness of the mother and the father, I don't know exactly how it works, but then how it's described is that a certain kind of spiritual soul gets attracted to that. And how it exactly works, I don't know. Because it's, we're talking about billions of semen, you know, things, and if you ever saw a nature movie, they're all moving. That means they're all living. That means they all have souls. So how it exactly works, I don't know. It is a whole science, but that's how it works. We know that it works like that. I have a funny story that, you know, two disciples, they were sitting in the car, two friends, and then one was the father of the two children who were sitting in the back, and they were fighting and screaming, and then his friend was making a joke that those are not 50 rounders, right? I think he was admitting, no, it's true.
true.
But worse than that is what happens usually in the society, is that children get made on the like in America, on the back of the car when people are drunk. It's the worst. You see? So the ideal is, and then on top I can add something to that. People should not eat meat. This is very, very degrading. And what I understand is that it needs actually to skip a generation. Like here we have these children, and they never ate meat. So we're very curious how their children are going to turn out. Of course, it has to become more pure and more pure and more. That's the idea. But having said that, and that is what we're discussing, that's what you also said, we always look at the quality and the activity of the person. That's the main thing. But it doesn't mean that we're not trying to make an ideal situation for a child to grow up. Otherwise, it's just madness. Right? So, but you know, you never know what kind of soul you attract. But like, even if you look, for instance, like Prahlad Maharaj, he was born in the family of demons, so-called demons. But look what happened when he was in the womb. Narada Muni came and he preached to his mother. So, you know, all these things, if you study them generally, then you'll see that something good happened, you know, before. There's no coincidence. Like we're here now, and there's not many people here, but it said in Bhagavad Gita, Manushanam Sasrisu Kachit Yatata Siddhye, from thousands of people who are trying to get perfection, only one, he really knows me in truth, Yatatam Api Siddhanam. So it's not so simple, you see. And Prabhupada explains that actually the people that come here, yesam twantakatam papam yaniam punya karmanam, that they have finished their pap, their sin. You as soon as you walk through the door, you must have done so many pious activities. That's just that's what Krishna says, so we accept it. Yesam twantakatam papam. Oh, manushanam sahasresu. Sahasresu means thousands. So, from thousands of manus, thousands of people, manushanam sahasresu. Kaschit yatata siddhye. Again, this word kasha. Well, you can look it up. No, I don't know the number. Sorry. I should know the number. 7-3, thank you. And the other one is Yatatam Ap. No, what is it? Yesam Twantakatam Papam. That's in the 9th chapter, if I'm not mistaken. Yesam Twantakatam Papam Janiyam Punya Karmanam. So those who are at the end of Pap, those Janas, those people, Janiyam Punya Karmanam, they have done so many Punya. Te Dvanda Moha Finir Mukta. They are above the dualities of illusion. Bhajante mam drida vritaha. They serve me with a drida vrita. Drida vrata. A very staunch vow. So that is the understanding that anybody who comes to Krishna consciousness has already done so many pious activities. And so we want to increase that. So similarly, it's understood that people who are born in the family of devotees, they are even more pious. And so if you have devotees who have never eaten meat, because some of their parents have eaten meat in the past, you see, but these children have never eaten meat, so then it gets more auspicious and more auspicious. I mean, it's just common sense, no? But again, we look always at the quality and the activity. We don't judge on birth. Sometimes it happens, the tendency is there, but it shouldn't. We always have to look. I mean, can be a little bit like Dhritarashtra was the king. He's the king, you know, you have to respect that, but he was blind, so he didn't have the qualities to become the king. I would say so, yes. I would say it's predestined. I would say it's predestined, yeah. That is a good point, because like yogis, they sit and they do all these, you know, and they get perfections, you know. But Krishna consciousness doesn't work like that, because you have to understand that we're in this body, and it's senses. We have the mind, it's called the sixth sense, but Krishna is outside of this universe. You cannot reach him with your senses. It's impossible. That's the spiritual world. You can only reach it with the soul, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego. All has to become spiritualized. Otherwise, it cannot enter there. So, that means that ultimately somebody from there has to come and tell you about Krishna. Otherwise, you can never know about Krishna. It's not possible. You can know up to Vishnu. You can look into your heart and you can see Vishnu. But you can never know about Krishna. And it can only, like you said, it can only when it's given to you. And the way I understand it is still, even if it's given to you, it's still ultimately not a coincidence, but there's still the matter of free will. And then you have like the soil that is, fruitive, and the soil that is like not fruitive, that is spoiled. Huh? Barren, yeah. Barren, and what is the other word? Fertile, yes. So when you're already pious, like you meet sometimes people on the street, especially sometimes young girls, they're very innocent, they're very pious, and they're like, oh yeah, I can give you a donation, like that. And they take the book, and that's it. You know, and some people, like especially these kind of yogis people, I used to be one of them, they're generally very proud. And they talk with you for half an hour, and they're interested, and then they say, no, I don't need a book. You know, and they wasted half an hour of your time. And another example is, for instance, you have these hardworking people, you know, and they're not so super intelligent, but they're like, you're a monk? Yeah, I can give you a donation. Oh, you're giving me a book? Oh, thank you. They might never read the book, but they give you a donation, and maybe they will look at the pictures, or they will read something, and their life will be changed. So, and these people are, and Krishna explains this in the 12th chapter. You know, if you can't do this, then you do this. And the yogis are at the end of the end. You know? And people who give to good causes, like generally these hardworking people, they give to this cause and that cause, and you're just one of the causes. So they're used to giving. But these yogis, they want to do everything by themselves, and they're not used so much to giving. They're used to renouncing everything, you know. So like that. So that's the beginning of bias, but it's a little bit of a difficult subject to grasp. But my understanding is that, like she said, the guru has to come down, and then I personally still, my understanding is that it's still no coincidence. Like Prabhupada used to say, you are all sent by my Guru Maharaj. So how can it be coincidence if his Guru Maharaj is sending his disciples? But still, one thing you have to understand, and it again comes back to this guna and karma, you have a free will, and you can mess up any second. Any second you can turn your back to Krishna. This is the only independence that we have. We think we can kill somebody or crush something. That is all done by the modes of material nature. What we can do is desire. And ultimately, if you start to dissect it, there's only two desires. Either serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. There's really not even another option, like Maya, because Maya means material energy, but it also means that which is not, because ultimately there's no such thing as material energy. It's just that it's more covered by ignorance. Yes. Very good. This is Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya established that you have to serve, and you either serve Krishna or Maya. So he actually said there is never any independence. Because you're either serving Krishna or you're serving Maya. There's no independence. But the independence to choose, that is there. And based on that, you always have to look at the guna and the karma. And I can give, just to completely finish off this topic, the example that Prabhupada gives, if you have a rich man's son, usually he squanders the money and he becomes useless. So, or a lawyer's son is not automatically a lawyer or a doctor's son. So similarly, somebody who gets born in the movement is not automatically a devotee. But the chance that somebody who gets born is, I don't know, Steven Spielberg's son or daughter, the chance that she will become a good actress or a good director is very big. Like, actually, we have one lady like that. She's the daughter of a famous director, and she's making wonderful movies. So the chance is like that. But there's many sons and daughters of directors, and they're not making any movies. So you always have to look at the qualities and the activities. I think Karuna Maya is packing up. That means it's 8:15. We're out of time. Otherwise, I just keep talking. Is there any more questions? We can discuss more tomorrow, you know. I just came to the first sentence. There's just one word you can explain for hours. Actually, I explained one word, actually, unwanted population. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.